So I pray every week for an experience of, of the scripture. And I thought I had one. And I thought I had the sermon ready to go. And then this morning, I got to be at the 8:45 service, and the Holy Spirit showed up. So I'm saving my wonderful sermon I prepared for another day. Because in it, one of the things that I was going to kind of step on your toes about is it kind of irks me that people show up 5 minutes late to church and leave 5 minutes early. And, you know, you don't see that really unless you lead in church. And I've been I've been here too long or just, you know, hadn't taken a break. But it was getting under my skin, and I was going to tell you about it. That's how the sermon was going to start. And then I went to 8:45 this morning, and I'm in the back row. Wave, shout out to y'all in the back. Our next last row, actually. And I'm watching the service, and Brant Wallace preached for us, and he did a great job. And Bill prayed, he did a great job. Ann Spears is Ann Spears, what can you say? And the choir is amazing. And then this woman walks in, and she's 25 minutes late to church. So, and then I was seated at the edge of the pew, and then she asked me if I could move over so that she could sit next to me. So now I'm irked twice. One, she's late. Second, she's asking me to move, which at 8:45, we got plenty of seats, okay? It's like, you know, the Holy Spirit may break out at First Methodist. I just don't expect it at 8:45. I mean, it's early. Anyway. So this woman comes in. She comes in late. That's already kind of an issue for me that I was planning to share with you all. And then she asked me to move over. It's her first time here. She has no idea who I am. I would find that out later. And anyway, at the end of the service, I was giving the benediction, and she comes up to join the church. And we did the membership vows, and I watched all this happen from right here, actually, just right over there. And then Jesus spoke to me through the scripture and said, "You jerk." Why do you give a flip about anybody coming into my house at what time? Let them come whenever they want to come. Open the door. It doesn't matter if they're late. Doesn't matter if they're on time. Just let them come. And so, you know, when I read this scripture this morning and share it with you, I am doing it having been fully rebuked by God. In that sometimes we have such a narrow vision of what Jesus is trying to do. And the goal of this scripture is not so much to get the speck out of the neighbor's eye, although that's the goal, and the log out of our own, although that's the goal of this scripture, this story, is so that we can see, right? That's the goal of this scripture, that we can see. And what we have to confess, I've already confessed, we'll confess again, is that I don't see everything that Jesus is trying to do. I don't see how hard the Holy Spirit is fighting for some of God's children. I am unaware of just how much Jesus loves us and is pouring out, even now, his compassion upon us so that we can be his church. And so what the scripture is about is really a prayer so that we can see everything that's possible that God is doing, and we might not be so blind. I was blind today. To rub it in, because sometimes I see it's true that Jesus loves us, but I think he messes with us sometimes too. I don't know if you think that, but to rub it in, it's as we're going to sing this in the offering. We're singing "Is Well With My Soul," our choir is. And to rub it in, some of the members of the homeless Sunday school class came in late and sat in the back row, and our choir launches into "It Is Well With My Soul." The congregation up front is not singing because we're stiff, Anglo, non-responsive people. we've got some growing to do. But the homeless Sunday school class is singing along because the words are on the screen. And they're singing along. And I was thinking about how to share this. I don't want to share this in any sort of judgmental way. But to hear that choir sing "It Is Well With My Soul," especially the line, "When Christ has regarded my helpless estate and shed his own blood for my soul," it's moving. You hear it a different way. It's like reading the book of Revelation in prison. You just hear it differently. Same scripture, same Holy Spirit, same God, same all that, but I hear it differently. Not only that, that happened at 8:45, but I was here for the Sunday school hour, which normally I can't be because I'm driving between our campuses. I'm here, and I'm passing by Bill Allen's homeless Sunday school class, and I'm hearing our choir rehearse, and they sang that exact line as I was passing that class. And I looked up at Jesus through the styrofoam ceiling that we have downstairs, and I said, "I got it. I got it. I see what you're trying to do. I see how you're trying to make me see. I see how I am so blind to what is going on, even in my own church. I'm paid to know what's going on around here, theoretically, right? But even under my very nose, Jesus is working powerfully, and it's amazing to see how that is going on. I say this about First Methodist Houston, and there's nothing fake news about it all the time when I say, if you really want to follow Jesus, if you want to do what Jesus did, if you want to hold the hand of the person who is different than you and see what God is doing in their life and in yours, there is no better place to be than First Methodist Houston. There's nothing fake about it. But the challenge for us is to see just how much the Holy Spirit is trying to move. And if you could just take your blinders off for a second, what do you think Jesus would allow us to see? It's awesome. Sometimes I feel like we defeat ourselves halfway through this passage. We say, you know, Jesus says, "Do not be judged so that you may not be judged." Well, that doesn't mean we have opinions about, you know, our own sinfulness or the sinfulness of others. We hold each other accountable. But sometimes I think Christians just stop and say, "Well, I'm a sinner. I got a log in my own eye." So, what, you know, just, and then they just stop. But what Jesus wants to do is to remove the log and get the speck out of your neighbor's eye so that all of us can see. It's that is the goal. And sometimes Jesus has to give us an experience or jostle us just a little bit in order to make us see what's possible. Deborah and I, a few weeks ago or a couple months ago, moved downtown. We live at the Alexan on La Branch and what's that other street? Texas Avenue? I'm not real great with directions, in case you haven't noticed. But one of the things we've also started doing since we moved downtown and we're not commuting on the Hardy Toll Road every day, thanks be to God, is we've sort of tried to pick up our physical fitness regimen a little bit. So about a month ago we started, and I'm trying to actually work out twice a day, once run, you know, about 3 miles, and then I've discovered these Peloton cycle things. Do y'all know these things? And our apartment complex has a couple, and so I got on one, learned how to use it, and I have to say that spin instructors are some of the greatest sources of preaching material ever. I can't believe. I mean, there are these, for 30 minutes, these people are perfect. Of course, they looked perfect, they sound perfect, and everything is possible all the time. And so I'm taking one of these classes. Now, I'm new, mind you, and if you don't know how the bikes work, they don't go anywhere, you just pedal, but they have a knob in the middle that you twist. If you twist it one way, it gets a lot harder to pedal. If you twist it the other way, it gets easier, and it goes from 0 to 100% resistance. And if you get up to about 50, you're working. At least I'm working. She's dancing, I'm dying at 50. But I get to the end of the workout, it's about 2 minutes, 3 minutes left, and that's usually when they save for the hardest push. And then she looks at me through this monitor. She's in New York City. I'm in Houston. I've got sweat coming off of me like bullets. And she says, for the last 60 seconds, we're going to take our resistance up to 80. And I went, who are you talking to? I said, there's no way. I mean, I've got sweat coming off. It's just nasty. It's like, you know, I'm going to flood the world with my, it's just gross. And so I just say to myself, there's no way I can do it. And then, like, she's reading my mind. She says, grab the knob, yank it over. You can get this done. She's preaching. So I do. I turn it to 80. If you want to know what pedaling through wet concrete feels like, this is it. And we're in 60 seconds of this. Now, when you're exercising and you're under stress, time slows down, doesn't it? I mean, 60 seconds of eating popcorn is wonderful. And the time flies by. But 60 seconds at 80 resistance on this bike is brutal. And the clock is just moving at the slowest possible pace. And then she starts counting it down to make it worse. 50. Tick. Tick. Honey, 3, 2, finally, we get to 0. I'm exhausted. My legs are cramping. I feel like I'm going to throw up on this bicycle. And she says, don't you feel great right now? Not just yet. But she had a point in that I could do it. I didn't think that I could do it. Didn't believe that I could do it. But I could. And one of the things I think we have to deal with in our Christian walk is that very fact. We don't know what's possible. We don't know what we can do. We don't know what we're capable of seeing until Jesus takes our blinders off, as we would say today, or as he said long ago, take the plank out of your eye. And so part of what we have to challenge ourselves with as followers of Jesus and readers of this scripture is we have to let go of the false myths we tell ourselves about what we can't do, or who somebody can't be, or how a relationship can't be restored, or how something God is trying to do. We have to be, as followers of Jesus, believers in the impossible, especially about ourselves. We believe in the resurrection of the dead, do we not? We do. We have to believe that amazing things are possible through us. Now, as Bill Allen would say, I was talking to him a minute ago, he'd say, it is Christ working through us. Absolutely. Jesus gets all the credit. But let's not sell the love of God short in the sense that Jesus, he wants to work. Yes, he's got the power. Does he need us? No, but he wants to work through us. And so if we say to him, take the log out of our eye, help us, we may not even believe it's possible, but he does. And once we see, what we can do will be amazing. So I want you to look at the person on your left right now, and I want you to say to them, you are gonna be awesome. Go. Now flip it the other direction. Look to the person at your right and say, you're gonna be awesome. Do you believe it? You should. You should. If you don't, get the log out of your eye. We have to believe that things are possible for us. And so many times we sell ourselves and Christ short because of the fake news that we tell ourselves. And so you have to follow this saying of Jesus, this teaching of Jesus, all the way through, in the sense that it's true. He does not want us to be judgmental hypocrites. That is true. But if you say, if you follow it all the way through, here's what Jesus says. He says, how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye while the log is in your own, you hypocrite? First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly. And that, to me, is the goal. Then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. The goal here is that both of us, you and me in this story, can see. And the only way that we can really do that is through the grace and love of Jesus. I want to take this a step further, because I think what Jesus has in mind here is to say, not just that you'll see, but when we see what Jesus is doing, when you feel the Holy Spirit in real time, when you see what Jesus has going on around us, what will follow is a compulsion to do. To say, I've got to be a part of that. I have to step into that. I need to rearrange my life so that this can be a part of it. Once you feel that juice of the Holy Spirit, that presence, you'll seek it out in everything that you try to do. And so again, it just becomes a challenge. It becomes a compulsion to kind of do something based on what we see. So if you've felt the Holy Spirit, if you say, you know what, I feel God encourage me to take on some things, let me throw out some possibilities for us as to what we might do. My guess is, for all of us, there's some part of the Christian gospel we find very uncomfortable. There's something that Jesus asked of us in following him that doesn't come naturally, or maybe there's an obstacle. I'll throw one out. When was the last time you invited somebody to church? When did it happen? Remember, the last word Jesus gives to us is to make disciples of all the nations. That's the great commandment, great commission in Matthew. When was the last time those words came out of your mouth? Now, some of us, we have the gift of talking all the time. You probably know who you are. People like that tend to just very naturally invite folks to church. Others of us are introverts. I did a wedding the other day, and the groom was an introvert. I have never seen a more petrified groom standing to receive his bride. He was uncomfortable. It just wasn't who he was. That's okay. But for all of us, there's probably some part of the Christian gospel that is unnatural. And my guess is the closer, the more it requires speaking or being a public presence, the more uncomfortable it is. So what if you took that on this week to say, this week, I'm going to extend an invitation to somebody to come to my church. What if that's your prayer? When was the last time you went deeper than that, though, and really talked about who Jesus is for you and what he means to you? When were you that witness? When were you that person who gave an invitation to somebody to know Christ? If you can't remember, or maybe it's never happened, do you see how maybe that may be a plank that needs to come out of your eye? Because you can do this. Jesus can make it happen. And if you say, my gosh, Andy, I just feel so uncomfortable doing that, I'll even give you an on-ramp. You know, Deborah and I were doing this small group for non-believers. Maybe what you do is just give me their name. Maybe what you do is to say, my pastor's going to call you to extend an invitation. And the worst they can say is no. But you know what? And even folks who have turned me down, and it hasn't been many in that, almost all of them have said, thank you for the invitation. Sometimes it's not the right time. Sometimes it's not the right place. Sometimes the Holy Spirit says, not yet. Okay. But we still got to go forward and do. The next teaching Jesus gives in this section of Matthew Gospel is the ask, seek, knock passage. In other words, when you see what the Holy Spirit is doing and you want to get involved, you may say, there's no way. But Jesus says, I'm there with you. If you ask me, if you seek for me, if you knock on the door, I will open it and be there. But what it takes is our willingness to take on the entire gospel. So what is that Achilles heel for you? What is that thing in church you've never done? Maybe it's time to take that on. If you say, I just don't know, or maybe it's just I'm new to this whole thing. Maybe the Bible basics class for you is for you this fall. See the things that this following Jesus is about. And maybe there's some area you can pick to focus in or work on. Deborah and I, again, we've moved downtown, and one of the reasons we wanted to do that, felt called to do it, we actually tried to do it. We called our realtor a week before Harvey hit, and that just didn't work. But we're here now. And so one of our missions has been, or one of the things we felt called to do, is how do we evangelize downtown? Because living downtown is awesome. It's so much fun, it's convenient, it's great. But how do we do this? And like we've discovered in our apartment building, we don't know a lot of people yet. We haven't met a lot of folks. And so I've been praying as I've been on this spin cycle because it overlooks the pool. And I've been praying, Lord, how do we use this to meet people? And our pool actually has this outdoor grill and kitchen. And I went, huh. And so I was looking at that, and the Lord said, what if you cooked there? You and Deborah just make dinner. And what if you made enough food for anybody who happened to walk by? I went, huh. I said, how about burgers? I love burgers. He goes, no. Because a hamburger, you just give one away. You need something that you can feed a group. I said, how about paella? Jesus said, I love paella. I said, so do I. It's awesome. He said, what if you cooked, and I've got this monstrous pan. I mean, it's huge. I could feed like half of Houston with this thing. What if you made paella, you know, one night, and you just happen to be there on the grill. You've got these pleasing aromas going to the Lord kind of thing, and just happen to feed whoever walked by. I said, I'm willing to try that. Jesus said, good. And so we're going to. So I'm looking at it. It's like, and I said, Jesus, when should we do this? When's the right time? And so I was on the spin bike overlooking the pool on Friday night. And about Friday night at about 7 o'clock, the sinners come out. Have you noticed this? They're everywhere. They've got Astros jerseys on. There are just so many sinners around Houston. It's incredible. Mission field galore. And so Deborah and I are going to make paella, I think, this Friday night at 7 o'clock, and we're going to see what heathens we can save. No. We're going to meet some people, and we're going to say hi, and we're going to be a good neighbor, and we're going to see where the conversation goes. Because, you know, the truth is, you can walk the Christian life in a fake kind of way. You can walk it, and you can kind of think, you know, it's like, okay, I'm going to go through the motions. I'm going to show up here, do this, give a little bit of money, whatever. You can fake your way through it. That's the hypocrisy Jesus could not stand. He couldn't. It drove him nuts. And when he gets his angriest, he's angriest at the people who know better but are faking their way through it. There's such a richer way to live. And it's when we put ourselves out there. It's when we say to Jesus, take the blinders off so that I can really see and feel the power of your Spirit, see and know your love. And the thing is, when we go through the Christian life in a real way where there's nothing fake about it, the things that it provides to us and opens up are unbelievable. As far as the certainty and the peace and the knowledge and the joy that God is with us, I would encourage you, take it on. What is it that Jesus is asking you to see? Maybe he's been asking you more than once to say, you know the phone call that you need to make. You know the thing that I'm asking you to do. You know the step forward. You know the rearrangement in your life, schedule, whatever it is, you know. Well, make it. And as that log comes out of your eye, what you'll be able to see is amazing. You know, sometimes I read this story and, you know, it kind of reminds me of like, you know, when we're in an airplane and the stewards tell us to put your oxygen mask off on first, you know, before you try to save somebody else. And so if there's something really serious that's going on in your life, Like if there's something like an addiction or just if there's something really life-threatening going on, please take care of that first. Know that your church is here to help you. Pastors are here to support you. We've got counselors and contacts throughout the city. Whatever healing it is you need, there are so many gifted people here who want and can help. But if we're kind of okay, if we're kind of, you know, it's like, I'm not perfect, you know, sinful, yes, but, you know, if I'm kind of okay, maybe it's time to really ask Jesus to take the blinders off in a different way and say to him, show me where you are. Help me to see your presence. Help me to see what it is that I can do to build this kingdom, Jesus. Because once we say yes to him, and once we ask him and pray to take the blinders off, the truth is, he does, and what we see and what we feel and what we know will be amazing. Pray with me. Jesus, we are grateful for this day, for this chance to be together, to encounter your living word. Jesus, we marvel at how these teachings of yours, these simple parables, always come to life before us, every single day. Help us to know them better, but more importantly, help us to live them out, because there's somebody's path that you are leading us to cross. There's a word that you need us to say, an invitation to extend, a prayer to be offered. We want to be your people who realize that moment and speak your word. We thank you that you are a God that removes the planks from our eyes so that we can see. And we pray, O Lord, that we would continue to spread this message throughout all the earth until the day when all people know just how good you are. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.